preacher is only as good as his material. I got some pretty good material, amen. Amen. We have not had a week go by. I told the soul-winning crowd that came out, what a great crowd. Thank you so much for coming out. We, as a church, handle this as a team. Nobody is responsible for winning a soul. Everybody is responsible for winning the soul. I got a text that we had one saved on soul winning yesterday. Amen. So team, we got one. Amen. Amen. We had over 20 saved in the jail ministry. Wow. We got 20 more. Amen. Understand this, not a week has gone by where we have not had at least two saved from the ministries of Bethel Baptist Church. The vast majority of those, we've been in double digits every single week, and we're going on 7 weeks. The grand total is a right around 300 people. Now listen. It's not because one of us is coming out. It's because all of us are coming out. As many as are packing the bags, as many as are ordering the materials, as many as are cleaning the church, as many as are showing up, you are all part of people realizing that heaven is very real. And please understand this, every single person that got saved because of the efforts of Bethel Baptist Church. You can be very excited about that, Bethel. You can be very excited that you got a church that still cares about lost sinners going to hell. Because I can't explain to you how hell is so very real. And God is not going to come at the end and say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and take everybody. He's not going to say that. He's not going to empty out hell and say, you know what, I was kidding. He's not going to get to the judgment seat and say, you know what, you had good intentions. Sobering thought, isn't it? God's not going to be mocked. If you don't come to Him as He wants you to come, you're not coming. I wish I could make it different. But God makes the rules, amen? God makes the rules. Just because you go to church every single Sunday does not make you go into heaven. Just because you got baptized in independent fundamental Baptist baptistry does not make you go into heaven. Just because you're going and reading your Bible every single day does not make you go to heaven. Boy, but when you accept the Lord as your Savior, when you call upon Him, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, what's the next words, church? Thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's not what a man says. That's what God says. I have a sobering thought. It won't take long today. It's already 11:30. I do not want to keep you long, but I want to keep you long enough. I want you to understand a question, and I want you to think about this. I like to make people think. I enjoy it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. This is nothing new. By the way, I don't think a preacher can ever preach anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. If you're preaching something new, you're preaching something wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord, preacher. Amen. I'll amen myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to be preaching old stuff. You got to be preaching. This stuff is from everlasting. That's what I want to be preaching, is the stuff that's from everlasting. A lot of teenagers have never heard real preaching. Never heard it. Sad. The vast majority of the folks around you would rather listen to Hallmark card writers than real preachers. I feel bad about that, because you can make people feel good, but it doesn't change your life. I'd rather change lives. But I want to, this is the question. It's a very sobering question. I want you to think about it. Don't say amen and act like you agree with me until I preach this. The question is this. Are you a teacher or are you a student? I want you to think about this for a minute. Are you a teacher or are you a student? I want you to look in 2 Timothy. Let's all stand together as we read the first 5 verses. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not because Paul wanted to be, but by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Brother Shell, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Yes, Lord, we thank you for a place that we can come and hear your word preached, Lord, without any apologies. Lord, I just pray you'll prepare our hearts for what you have for us today, for what you gave given Brother Dave to preach to us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. As you look around America today, the statistics are becoming staggering on how many broken homes there are. The statistics are becoming to the point where the divorce rate is actually going down. It's pretty funny. It's not funny. It's sad, but it's weird how this is happening. The divorce rate is actually decreasing, and they're shouting from the housetops how great the new programs are that are keeping divorces from happening. But you must understand, the reason that divorces are not occurring is because people aren't getting married anymore. It's easier for them to live together and do wrong. Preachers aren't talking about it anymore. They don't want to offend people in their churches. But I got to be honest with you, if you're living together and you're not married, you're in sin. Right. You're mad at me all you want to, take it up with God. He's the one that makes the rules. I just preach them. I know I'm only an associate pastor, but I am a called man of God. And you must understand this. I don't want teenagers to have a future that is bleak. I don't want to have teenagers that don't know the God of our fathers. I don't want our teenagers to grow up in a world that does not know Christ. As long as you step foot in this church and I have breath, you'll hear about Jesus Christ. And you'll hear about him out of the old book. I'm not going to fool around with craziness. I'm not going to worry about other things, because understand this. I've got to come to the grips with something. I am either a student or a teacher. That's a sobering thought. See, what we got to understand is this. If you read these first five verses in this chapter, you'll go to a couple of ladies. It talks about Lois and Eunice. It talks about them because they passed on what they had learned. They became teachers. They were unwilling to bow to what the world was having to offer. They were unwilling to bow to the new ideas and the new thought processes on how to live life. They were unwilling to do that, and they were willing, more rather, to teach Timothy about Christ. They wanted to teach Timothy about the old book. Do you know how I know that? Because in the scripture it says, thou hast known the holy scriptures. You were taught them from your youth. Well, who do you think did that? So you got to understand something. You got to come to grips with the fact, Christian, you are either a student or a teacher. Which one are you? It's a sobering thought, because that gives great responsibility to the people under the sound of my voice this morning. What do you know about Christ? What do you know? What do you know about the Savior that went to that cross and died for you? What do you know about the man that took the crown? What do you know about the man that suffered the scourging? What do you know about the man who humbled himself and did not speak? What do you know about the man? What do you know about the man that was betrayed by his very friends that walked with him? What do you know about that man? Because if you were truly a student, you'd want to learn about that man. If you were truly a student, you'd want to know the things that were passed on to him, from him. You'd want to know the things that Christ had to say, and you'd want to get into the textbook that teaches you that. Lois and Eunice had it. And they knew that they had a job. The people under the sound of my voice today have vast, vast, vast knowledge of Jesus Christ at their fingertips. The average Baptist church doesn't even talk about these things. I said Baptist, amen. I didn't say Catholic or Presbyterian. See, I'm not ashamed to say that they don't have the truth. Oh, everybody's going to. And I had this said to me so many times. I wish I had a dime for every time. Everybody's going to be all right. All of us just have to love God. All of us just have to care about God. All of us have to look to Allah. Now, you can get mad at me and start frowning at me, but Allah's taking a lot of people to hell today. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I can't change it. I would to God I could change it. But I'm a teacher that's got the right scriptures in front of me, and it doesn't say anything in there except Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am a teacher. But can I help you? And this should sober you right up. Those of you that have been saved for years and years and years and years, don't ever forget that you ought to be a student too. Are you a student or a teacher? Sad is the day that the Sunday school teachers stop reading their Bible. Sad is the day when Christian school teachers don't care about teaching Bible, they want to teach math. Say amen to me this morning. I knew this would sober you up. See, what you got to understand is this. We've lost sight listening to the state telling you, well, you better know algebra. How's algebra going to help them when they're going to heaven? How's algebra going to help them when they need to hear about Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm all for algebra. I think y'all, and you use it every day. You don't even realize you use algebra. You use algebra every single day of your life. And I think you ought to know it. But if you know more about the things of the world than you know about the Son of God, you've got a real problem on your hands. I want to take you into a couple scriptures. We're going to keep going in 2 Timothy a little bit, but I got a couple other scriptures written down. If you're going to be a teacher and a student, you ought to listen to what the Bible says. Turn back to Timothy. I shut the Bible and lost my place. I think I still have it in here, though. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah, there it is. I do have it. Amen. Look at this now. If you look at 2 Timothy, Paul is drawing towards the end of his ministry, and he's trying to excite his preacher boys. And listen, I'm so thankful. What you got to understand is this. I was blessed. I was blessed. I look back at my life. It makes no sense that I'm here today. It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. You can sit there and say, well, glory to God, because God knew I was good, he brought me to this place. It had nothing to do with that. It's amazing to me that I'm here today. I would be remiss in not mentioning the fact that my aunt and uncle are here today. If it were not that they took me to church, say what you want. But if they would not have taken this brat to church, and I would not have got to, and it's crazy, I got to hear him preach one time. I got to hear a fellow preach in Super Church one time. He preached about hell to a kid, 11 years old. I went to church once. Did I go to church with you after that? Night of nights. That's all I remember. And I just had fun shooting a basketball. Didn't care nothing about church. I went to church one time, 11 years old. 11 years old. I went to church, heard a man preach about hell, and as a kid, I realized, oh, man, I don't want to go there. I came forward in front of an old green register. $110 lamps. No, that's not my story. That's not my testimony. I came down and got in front of a man who I hear is not in the ministry anymore, but boy, he was in the ministry long enough to get me. Ron Brown told me about Jesus Christ. He became the teacher. I became the student. And I learned all about a Savior that loved me very much. You must understand something. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, he died for you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, glory to God, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you got to have beads, candles. It doesn't say you got to be able to turn cartwheels. It doesn't mean you got to come to church. You don't have to do that in the midst of a Baptist church. You don't have to get wet to do it. You don't have to get right to do it. All you got to do is do it. And what's great is we're missing it. We're missing it. Why? Because we've got teachers that don't want to teach anymore and students that don't want to learn. Are you a teacher or are you a student? If you know the way to get to heaven, then by all means, start teaching it. Came forward and got saved. Told my aunt and uncle about it. My family split for years because they took that little brat to be saved. They didn't want me to be saved. So I can't even fathom that type of logic. But I got saved. The Lord had something for me. Now, at 11 years old, this is different. Now, you understand, so most preachers, well, I lived a bad life, got saved, and I got right out of that life. That's not what happened to me. I was good up until 11. I got saved, and I got wrong. I did all my bad stuff after I got saved. Does that make me unsaved? Why? Because you've been a student, and you understand that that's not having anything to do with salvation. Glory to God, you know that. If you were sitting in a church of God this morning, they'd be teaching you that I lost my salvation in there somewhere. Come on, say amen to me this morning. You must understand something. It's not about what you do that has anything to do with heaven except accepting Christ. You can go out and live like the devil all you want. He's not pleased. He's grieved over it. He doesn't want you to do that. But it has nothing to do with you going to heaven. And I say amen. Amen. Because I'd have lost it. But I came out. Thank God he was patient enough with me to let me last long enough to go on a blind date with Tammy Skyver. Now, understand, I started to clean up my life a little bit before I saw her. Thank goodness, because she'd have never stayed with me if she saw me earlier. Blind date. And by the way, not only were they basically responsible for me getting saved, they were also basically responsible for setting me up with Tammy Lynn. Now, understand this, which is great. We both stood each other up. She wanted to go out with a good-looking fella. And she ended up getting stuck with me. And married the ugly one. Glory to God. She came to the basketball gym. And I didn't stop playing. Chivalry is not dead. And she waited there, walking down the hallway. I can't believe this happened to me. She knew that she was going to marry me. Wow. That's what I said. She always knows when to do it. God worked all this out. But I had to become a student to see it. Don't ever get to the age of maturity in your Christian walk when you stop to learn. When you stop seeing what God wants you to see. I had a statement said to me one time. When you're a kid, teenagers, you know everything. There's nothing you don't know. You are so intelligent nowadays. Everything, you can Google anything. And we're so old anymore. You're just old and stupid. You don't know what's going on. You're not with it. Hey, baby, you're not with it. I know what's going on. I'm a teenager, for goodness sake. If I can't find the answer, I'll just Google the dumb thing. But long gone to the library. Hey, how can I find a book in a library? I have no idea. So they put it all in the computer for the kids. Why? Because then they know what to do. You think I'm foolish, but you must understand something. We've lost the thought of being a student. We've lost the thought of trying to learn. We've lost the thought of trying to get right with Christ. We've lost the thought of that. We as teachers have lost the thought of passing down that which we know. And the students have lost the desire to attend class. Are you a teacher or are you a student? If you look in these scriptures, you see Eunice and Lois, who knew that Timothy was somebody that was going to need Jesus Christ. Now, it may not be popular, parents. It may not be popular to try to teach your children the things of God. And please understand this. Your children have no excuse. Now, you may not like that. That was never popular when I was in the youth. And it's still not popular, I guarantee you. Your children have no excuse. Kids, I'm sorry you have no excuse. I know you like to come up with them. My life's bad. My family life's hard. You got no excuse. Jesus Christ is available to everybody, and you can live right if you choose to do it. It's amazing. Kids can do what they want to do when they want to do. And by the way, it doesn't grow out of you when you get older. You still do what you want to do when you want to do it. You can say what you want, but the reason you're in church today is because you wanted to be here. Don't talk to me and say, well, I didn't want to come, but I showed up anyhow. Hogwash. If you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't have come. Are you a student or are you a teacher? If you come to church asking for God to bless you, my mouth is open, Lord, please fill it. You're a student. If you come as a teacher, you came wrong. Come on, say amen to me this morning. Boy, the frown's turned upside down there, didn't it? You must understand something. If you come in the shoes of a teacher and you're supposed to sit in the pews, you wore the wrong shoes. Listen to what God's man has to tell you. Listen to what that old book has to tell you. Come ready to be a student and then take what you learned and go be a teacher. Now look at this now. Look at this now. Boy, I like this. This is good. You know why? Because I had to come to grips with this. And I didn't come to grips with this thought until several years into my ministry. I've been in the ministry for 18 years. You have put up, hey, listen, if you got a problem with me being your sociopath, turn around and thank Uncle Joe and Aunt Cindy. They're the ones that took me to church. Blame them. I want you to look at a verse. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I did not come to grips with this thought until many years into my ministry. It's not me. It's him. See, if you can't get to that point, you can never be a student unless you're willing to say it's him. You can never be a student. I would to God I had a dollar for every single adult that came into the room wanting to teach the preacher something. And there's, listen to me, please don't misread me. It's not like we can't learn. A good preacher is a student first. Somebody say amen to me this morning. A good teacher, a good preacher is somebody that is always a student, always wanting to learn what Christ has to tell him. But younger preachers mess up in the fact that they get smarter than the people. I got to be honest with you. The greatest will be the least. You start to realize how unworthy you are if you become a student of Christ. You start to realize how unworthy what you have to offer is. And yet, Jesus Christ can still take what you've got and use it to teach others. Preacher always told me, you can learn something from anybody. I don't care. Hey, pick out who's the least in this room. You're looking at him. You can learn from me. Good or bad, you can learn from me. Look at what this says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If I were to wrap my head around this right away and use Christ to be the one that teaches me, use people that knew Christ to teach me, instead of trying to do this all on my own, I would have avoided a lot of heartache. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What happens? Preacher teaches a class on Romans. You don't show up. Preacher teaches a class during Sunday school. You don't show up. What are you going to teach the people that come behind you? What you got to understand is this. Whether you like it or not, and I'm going to give you the really sobering side of this. Whether you like it or not, you're a teacher. Whether you like it or not, you teach. I'll give you a little quiz. What's my favorite college football team? Do you know why? Because I taught you that. No, I taught you saw that. You know that. Why? Because you watched my life. You watched who I am. You know that I root for those people that can't beat Ohio State. But what you must understand is this. You know it. Don't think that people don't know you. Don't think that people don't watch you. Don't think that your life, and I don't care nothing about lifestyle evangelism, but your lifestyle definitely does do something. Your lifestyle, hey, let me tell you something. If you see Eddie White walking into a bar, you ain't thinking he's just going in to make a phone call. Bus broke down one time going on the way to Wyndham. I'll never forget it. We stopped right in front of the stinking bar. We debated, what do we do? We got a busload of kids. It was going home, we was loaded. And we said, what do we do? And I said, Eddie, go make a phone call inside. I'll just play it. We debated. We wouldn't do it. We wouldn't go in. We wouldn't go in. It already looked like the bus had stopped there. It'd be my luck. I'd walk out of the bar and stumble. The next thing you know, you think I'm wasted. And you know that'd be in the bulletin next week. I saw Brother Dave. I saw Brother Dave. Yes, I did. What you do teaches. When you walk out of your house in the morning, on Sunday morning, your neighbors are taught. When you stay home on Sunday morning, your neighbors are taught. Your life teaches. You can say what you want to say, but you are surrounded by students that see your life and watch your moves. You are surrounded by people that watch you, that watch you, that watch you. You're teaching, whether you like it or not. You say, well, I'm just not going to teach anybody. Oh, no, you're teaching whether you like it or not. Teenagers can teach. I'm taught by their spirit in the way that they're sitting right now. Are you stepping on teenagers? You best believe I'm stepping on teenagers. That's what I've been doing for a long time. You mess with me, I'll step on yours too. Your life teaches. What you feel, when you scowl at me when I talk about Facebook, you just taught me something. Huh? Are you a student? What do you teach? You're teaching. What do you teach? Boy, it's quiet in here. What are you teaching? When our Sunday school teachers come to church, they better be teaching Christ. Don't you Sunday school teachers tuck your tail and start talking out of gibberish and start telling them all things that just make people feel good, hogwash. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus was willing to call the people hypocrites. Jesus was willing to call them snakes in the grass. He was willing. Why? Because he was teaching. Do you know the word teach shows up a lot in the scripture? And the people knew that Jesus was, and I'm not saying to heap up under yourself teachers having itching ears. Those type of teachers teach you wrong. We'll get to them in a minute. Just hang loose. But you're teaching. The problem is, as students, we fall short as well. We don't want to learn. We don't want to show up. You graduated high school, couldn't wait to get out of the classroom. Couldn't wait to stop learning. But what's funny is this statement has stuck with me. An old man of God said to me, the more I learn, the less I know. I am 41 years old, and I am dumber now than I've ever been. What? Don't you agree with me, brother? I'd come back there and slap you, but I'm afraid you'd catch me. No, that's the truth. You get inside this scripture and you start studying Jesus Christ and start studying the people of God. There is so much here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Listen, if you hear anything this morning, if you hear anything, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses the same, commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I've got to pass it down. But I can't cease being the student to pass down the truth. When I offer you the question, are you a teacher or a student? Your resounding answer should be yes. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Bible says study. I'm not talking about commentaries. I'm not talking about Matthew Henry's commentary. And there's probably not very much wrong with that. But if I spend more time talking to Matthew Henry than I do to God, there's a problem. If I write a commentary, don't worry. But if I write a commentary and you read it more than you read this book, there's a problem. When you spend more time in something else learning from men than you do from the book, there's an issue. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of men. rightly dividing the word of Brother Dave. Rightly dividing the word of Pastor. Is that what that says? It says rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, as a teacher, what do we need to teach? We need to teach the necessary things. We need to teach the word of God. We need to teach the word. It's so simple. Oh, I'm sick and tired of you hitting on the Bible all the time. Everybody else is hitting on it. I want to hold it up. I want to hold it up. I got no use for somebody that uses a perversion. I want to hear the King James Bible. Don't you talk to me about other garbage. I want to hear what God has to say. Teach the word of God.
Amen.
What do you learn as a student? As a teacher, what do you teach? The word of God. As a student, what do you learn? The word of God. Are you with me so far? This is hard stuff, isn't it? I am so deep. I am a theological marvel. So hard. Number two. What do you teach? You teach to maintain good works. Huh? How would you like it if I stood up here and taught you to do wrong? What do you teach? You don't teach the people to do wrong. You teach them to do right. With your foundation of the book. What do you learn? You learn to maintain good works. You come to church looking to get your life changed, not looking to stay status quo. When you come to church, why are you here? Just to impress people with your presence? We're impressed. You're beautiful people. Wonderful. Magnanimous people. But I like the song that says, "How great thou art." Now, you must understand, I'm thankful that you're here, and I hope that you prayed for the preaching before you came today. I hope that you prayed that you'd get something from God, because you don't have it all. I count not myself to have apprehended. Who said that? Paul. I think Paul's smarter than I am. I think Paul has a little bit more knowledge than I do, and he still counted himself not to have apprehended. When I was a kid, I thought I had it all. I really did, and most kids do. They get to this point where I've got it under control. I'm in a suit and tie. You're going to look at me and think I'm in charge. Everything is great because I got dynamics. It's all good. And then you realize that you are a pile of dust. You come to this realization, and it breaks your heart at first. And then you come to another realization. God didn't want you when you were high. God wanted you when you were low. This is when he uses you. He uses broken and contrite spirits. I had to learn that. I had to cease to being a teacher and realize I had to be a student for a while. Realize that I had to learn from Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you. I unplugged from being a teacher for a while and just decided to sit at the feet of Christ and just decided that every preaching message, it would come. I couldn't get enough preaching. I had to hear tapes. I had to hear messages. I had to come and hear my pastor. I had to read my Bible. I had to. Why? Because I knew that I needed to be a student long before I decided to be a teacher. Now that I've got just a little handle on what's going on, still have not apprehended, still have not gotten all the way, you must understand this. I still need to be a student every day of my life to maintain good works. To maintain good works. What to teach? Last one. Teach to observe the things of Christ. What do I want to learn? I want to learn to observe the things of Christ. Are you a student or are you a teacher? When you hear this question posed to you, by the way, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 talks about false teachers. There's many of them. There's many of them that are teaching our youth today that there is no hell. Oh, you think that's just a few? There's a lot of folks that are teaching that there's no hell. Can I give you some insight? Doesn't change it. There is still a hell. And it is still burning bright. It is still burning hot. And it is still consuming all those that don't come to God his way. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must come to him his way. You can't do good works So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear what God has to say. You must be a student of him and realize that he's teaching you that you can go to heaven, but it's his way. And then once you figure out that it is his way, then you must realize that you've learned something. And you should be faithful as a student to go on and teach that which you have learned. Can I take you to one more scripture? I was done, but I'm not now. Aren't you happy? I must have stabbed her. Throw a brick into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that you hit, amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Here it is. Here's the lesson. Are you ready? Here's the lesson. What ought we do? Go ye. Come on now. Go ye therefore and do what? Praise the Lord. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Doing what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This Bible is telling you that once you know the right, once you know the truth, once you know what Jesus Christ has said, not what man has said, what Jesus Christ has said, go and teach others. Are you a student or are you a teacher? Don't ever become to the spot in your life where you cease to be a student. And when you have learned that what the teacher has told you, go and teach others also. Why were Eunice and Lois effective for Timothy? Because they learned. They were students. And they passed it down. By the way, don't think for one minute that it wasn't passed down to them. They just did what they were supposed to do and took it and passed it on. My aunt and uncle knew a truth, and that truth was you got to be saved to go to heaven. So they took me to a place where I could be a student. And because I was humble enough for that moment, Jesus Christ looked down on this old wretched sinner. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, be a student for just 5 minutes and learn what this old book has to say. Learn that it's not your works. It's not your works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can boast to you one thing today. I'm a sinner. But I'm also a redeemed sinner. Why? Because I was a student to what Jesus Christ had to teach me. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, don't wait another minute. Don't wait. Class may not come in session for you again. And you're not going to be tardy. And you'll serve your detention in a lake of fire. You like how I'm putting all the school references in there? Yeah. We are not afforded chance after chance after chance after chance. Oh, you'll just get saved. Just hang around. Oh, no. Holy Spirit's got to call you. Your heart beating right now is because the Lord's trying to tell you something. Lord's trying to tell you, listen. Listen to what that teacher's got to tell you. Because I'm passing it on to you right now. Are you a student or are you a teacher? If you're here to teach me something, if you're here to teach the Bible something this morning, you're in the wrong shoes. If you're here to teach this book some, if you're here to teach Jesus Christ really what salvation's about, you're in the wrong shoes. Just come as a student. Come as a student willing to learn what Jesus Christ has to teach you this morning. You have to ask yourself, are you a student or are you a teacher? I challenge you to be both. Teach the right way. Teach what Jesus Christ has taught you to others. But learn this first. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to burn in hell forever if you don't accept him. There is no other way. There is no other way. If you need to be saved today, do not wait. When the music starts, I want you to make your way right up here. You say, well, I don't like forced invitations. I'm not forcing you to do anything. Truth is forcing you. Truth. Because listen, you can get saved wherever you want. But I sure do like to see a commitment at the altar. I sure do like a commitment showing God that you mean business. Not being ashamed of him, because he certainly wasn't ashamed of you when he hung naked on the cross. He sure wasn't ashamed to you when he died for all your wretched sins. He sure wasn't ashamed to you when he left the splendors of heaven to come down here and take his first breath in a stall. He wasn't ashamed to be born surrounded by manure in animals. He wasn't ashamed to be buried in a borrowed tomb. He wasn't ashamed to be taken to the cross and have somebody else carry it for him. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to bleed and die. He wasn't ashamed. He took every step to Calvary and hung there in the presence of sinners that put him there. He went willingly to teach you that he loves you this much as he hung on the cross and died, humbling himself for you. I think you can humble yourself to take two steps and start walking down the aisle and come here and accept the Lord as your Savior. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. He desires to take you to heaven. Are you a student? Or are you a teacher? I hope and pray this morning that you're both. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, help me to be a student. I believe that you want us to be students first. I really do. I believe you want us to learn. Learn from your word. Learn from you, the ultimate teacher. Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave us a perfect textbook from which to glean information, from which to know the right way and the good way. Lord, help us to get inside your old book and learn the old paths and be students. And then when we've learned the right way and the good way and the old paths, help us to be teachers, committing this information to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let us beware of false teachers that are ravening wolves inside of sheep's clothing, trying to tear down the truth and jerk it away from a future of people knowing Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us. Help us to want to learn, and then help us to want to teach. Help us to be students and yet come to class ready to be a professor of you being our Savior. Oh God, help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. This is what we work for. You're going to teach me something today about you. You're going to teach me whether or not you're willing to be a student. It's not me. It's this word that taught you today. It's not me. I hope and pray that the Lord spoke through me, because without Him speaking, it's worthless. You've got a great responsibility, Bethel Baptist Church, because not many churches are left teaching truth. Not many. I've been fortunate to be under the ministry of a man that's not afraid to hold on to this old book and not afraid to teach the old paths of God. I have been blessed in my ministry to start out right. I have been blessed that the Lord humbled me enough to want to be a student. And I'm never going to change that. I always want to learn more about God. I hope and pray you realize that you've got a very important responsibility as those children of God that know truth, to teach people, yet always be willing to be a student. Teach. Apt to teach. That's what the Bible talks about. A good preacher, be apt to teach, but also apt to learn. Are you a student or a teacher? I pray to God you're both today. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm teaching you out of the book, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Class was just in session. Class is out. There's no more on that lesson. He died for you. Please accept him today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say with an uplifted hand, you know what, Brother Dave, I know that I know that I know, 100% sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Put your hands up real big and tall. I see just about every hand in here raised. Thank you so much. You may put them down. I wonder, though, in a crowd this size, it would not surprise me if there was one in here that did not know you as Savior. It would not surprise me. So nobody's looking around. This isn't time to be embarrassed. I don't care about embarrassment. Throw embarrassment out of the window. I'm not going to be embarrassed and get sent to hell. I'm not going to get embarrassed and run my way down the slippery slope to hell. I'm not going to do that. If I'm embarrassed, so embarrassed that I can't accept Christ, there's a real problem. Don't be embarrassed today to accept Christ. We will all shout praises to the Lord that you got saved. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, how many can say with uplifted hand, you know what? I don't know for sure 100% that if I died right at this very moment that I would go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Can you put that hand up real big and tall? I see that hand back there. I see a hand up here. Is there another? You don't know, but you sure would like to know. I'm not going to come back and tackle you. I'm going to pray for you, but I think you ought to want to come up here and get right and get saved. Is there another? When the invitation starts, don't wait. If you have ceased being the student and you decide you're smart enough now to just be a teacher, you need to get to this altar and become a student again. You need to learn. Learn what Jesus Christ has for you. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll have your will and way in this invitation right now. I'm going to hand it over to my pastor, the man of God for Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, anoint him in exactly what to say. And Lord, please, let people not hesitate to learn. Let them not hesitate to come to your altar. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, don't let that change. Lord, the altar, that's the old way. Lord, please, let us stick to the old paths. And Lord, be with the ones that raise their hand today. If they don't know you as Savior, let them come as soon as the invitation starts and let them get saved right now. Lord, don't let them wait another day. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Preacher, would you come?
Would you come and pray with this dear gentleman right here? Let's all stand. If you'd like to come and trust Christ as your Savior, you come right now.